This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Oh. God, I'm so excited.
Right.
Okay, it's fine. Right. Marissa, I'm sorry if I jump off of microphone. I'm just having trouble containing myself.
Do you want a seatbelt?
I might need one.
Wow. Punch it!
It's time for
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hello, Jamborghinis.
Oh, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Did you even read that before?
I did. I have an entire document of notes for the first time ever in this podcast.
I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. We're, what, 64 episodes in? And I'm like, I should write some of this stuff down.
You know what? I think we're finally hitting our stride.
People do say it happens when you're 64. I believe Paul McCartney wrote a song about hitting your stride when you're 64.
Heyo, song riff in a different episode. We need a sound effect for that.
What?
Wait, we didn't introduce ourselves. My name's Miel.
I'm not Miel.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we are Punch at the Jam.
Correct.
Two unqualified comedians making songs trying to be better?
Yeah.
I don't know.
We just kind of take the songs and then we talk about them for a while and then we go like, what can we change based on the song itself? And then we do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we bring a special little guest along.
Uh-oh!
And sometimes Miel makes that sound.
Uh-oh!
You know her from her writing on television in AV Club, Paste, and Up Rocks. Give it up for Latoya Ferguson!
Yeah! I'm here!
You're here!
I love when they come in with the energy!
I mean, after witnessing you guys dance to the opening theme,
yeah.
I feel like I had to.
We gotta dance to the theme.
Yeah, we listen to the opening theme every time we tape.
I also love that you're wearing an NWO shirt right now, which is great because that felt like a very wrestling intro.
Yeah, Wolfpack for life.
You're a Wolfpacker.
Yeah, so that's what the red and black is.
Mm. I know nothing more than what I've already said about wrestling.
I saw the shirt and thought it was a Slipknot shirt.
Wow.
Based on font and font alone.
Hmm. That's fair. Famously, the letters NWO stand for Slipknot.
Not without Slipknot.
Fair.
There you go, Slipknot. Your new shirt.
Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, Latoya, we kind of cheated a little because this song is the result of a Patreon choosing what they wanted us to punch up. So it's not like we reached out to you and you chose Take On Me.
I didn't.
However, you did tweet about it, which I feel like kind of counts.
I do have a question, though. If you could have chosen a song that you wanted to talk about, do you know what you would have picked?
Oh, yes.
What would it be?
Starships, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now.
Wait, who's...
Starship?
It's a duo. In a world we're running out of... Is that from Mannequin?
Yes.
And
yes.
And we
will fail
this...
It won an Oscar?
Yeah, it's heavily featured in Skeleton Twins.
Yes.
Oh, God.
What?
Love that movie.
The best scene in Skeleton Twins.
Absolutely.
I gotta watch Skeleton Twins.
Girl,
and Mannequin.
You have to come back and do that song, just because I want to listen to it now.
Thank you.
I'm a living Hollywood Montrose. I should really... get that.
You gotta get the glasses.
Oh, I need those glasses.
But today, though, we're talking about Aha.
Yeah.
Aha.
Aha. Which is a very fitting name for a reason we'll talk about later. But yes, we're talking about Take On Me.
Aha.
Oh, that too, I guess.
We're talking about Take On Me. You know this song. Do you like it?
I do.
What are your feelings about it?
I feel that it slaps.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a version that doesn't slap later, though.
Oh, yes, we will.
Ooh. What are we?
I mean, listen, you might have already downloaded it.
I think I might have. I don't know. I don't know which one you're referring to, because in my head, I'm like, everything about this song kind of slaps.
Oh, my God. Okay, let me start with the notes at the top. Aha! Aha!
Mm.
There's a hyphen between the A and the H.
Yes.
It's all lowercase, by the way, too.
I know. Aren't they cool?
Which is weird, because aha is never something that you say in a lowercase voice. It's like,
no, it's like Mickey Mouse.
Aha! Even that's like capitalized. Aha is an exclamation, but aha is a band.
Aha! Aha. Oh, you know what? It's Jay-Z. Aha, aha.
Oh, in a way, yeah.
Anyway, they're from Norway.
For me, it's where I get all of my fast food, my Mexican fast food.
Aha.
Aha Fresh.
Oh my God.
All right, why
would you drop the beat?
What do you mean?
Do you think it's like a double L?
Because sometimes you want some Mexican-Norwegian fusion.
Aha Fresh, baby. This track will be Aha Fresh by the time we're done with it. Okay, there's a bunch of versions of the song. The original version was from 1984. It was produced by a guy named Tony Mansfield, and it was self-composed.
What do you mean by self? Like, just they wrote it themselves?
I do not know. I copy-pasted this. I'm being perfectly honest. Okay, the guy that plays keyboards in the band's name, oh brother, Magne Furuholmen, is quoted as saying, the song started out being called Lesson One, and then we renamed the song All's Well That Ends Well and Moves With the Sun.
Was that when Fiona Apple came on board as producer?
Right, yeah, exactly. The first take of the song was actually inspired by our favorite band on this podcast.
Korn?
The Doors.
Oh. Sure. Yeah, second favorite.
L.A. Woman. More like Norway Woman. Am I right?
No, it's L.A. Woman. L.A. Right? Woman is the name of the song. A different song.
I can't believe I made this mistake again. God damn it. They also said, I think the keyboardist from The Doors, Ray Manzarek?
Yeah.
I don't know The Doors.
Ray Manzarek, I think. We mentioned him briefly in the episode. Anyway.
So my main man, Ray Manzarek, was hugely influential.
Ray Manzarek.
Apparently, he brought classical music into pop. So that was A-ha's jumping off point for this song.
Like, he was the first one who did that?
Yeah, I have
According
so many follow-up
Magna,
questions.
My BFF Magna Furuholmen.
Oh, so he's just saying that he inspired.
Yes.
Okay, I thought he literally was like, yeah, he came into the studio and was like, put some strings in, which is crazy.
I wish. Okay, but they made this song, and it did not go so well. They released it in the UK as a single, and it peaked at 137. Do you have this version?
Yes, the original.
Is this the version you said does not slap?
No.
No, different version.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Sounds fake.
It sounds like... Yeah.
It's like a MIDI file.
Absolutely. Yeah. This sounds like the title screen to Frogger or something.
Yeah, it's a video game music.
This is the version that I'm surprised is not in Ready Player One.
It's missing the
Yeah. It's missing a lot of things.
This sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it still has some...
Toya's just audibly thumbs downing.
It still has some elements that I'm like, oh, I kind of like that, but I feel like, yeah, it's not as fun.
It made LaToya Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator, so I don't think this is a good song.
Yeah.
That's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Big time vibes. Joaquin Phoenix in Gladiator energy. So then the U.S. Office of Warner Brothers decides to invest in the band and re-records the song, this time produced by a guy named Alan Tarney. That's the version we know and love. So the new version was quickly re-released in the U.K., but the U.K. record label was like, meh, we don't really care about this, and it flopped again. Then
Yikes.
Warner Brothers in the U.S. was like, you know what? Maybe we can do something cool here with the video. So they put an absolute shit ton of money into it, making the revolutionary music video that we all know, that what 850 million people on YouTube have watched in the last like 10 years alone.
Honestly, that seems low to me.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, imagine how many more people saw it before YouTube started counting views and YouTube even existed.
Everyone
right?
that ever existed.
Yeah. Everyone that ever existed. Probably not an overstatement.
It's definitely one of, I would say, one of the most famous music videos of all time.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It's, if you haven't seen it, it's all rotoscoping. Which is basically where, like, you take pencil sketch animation, or at least this one is pencil sketch, and then live action, and you trace the live action over frame by frame to give the characters realistic movements. It's approximately 3,000 frames, and it took 16 weeks to complete.
I don't understand that, in that they had a song that flopped twice. Why did they pour so much money into, like, why did they believe in this song?
I'm also confused, like, how bad do you have to be to flop that horribly in the UK?
Yeah, that's a very true thing, because I feel like...
They love everything over there!
There are songs we hear about where it's like, this was number one for 10 weeks, and I'm like, this is, a remix of God Save the Queen or something?
They eat fucking blood sausage over there.
Man, they put beans on toast for breakfast.
What the fuck, England?
I'm so glad we left. I love
you,
my
home. When
you
say we, do you mean your family or America?
Both. I mean both the royal we and the no longer royal because I left me.
Demi left England as a child.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most...
I walked out.
Right into the ocean. And then he washed up on our shores and we're so lucky to
have
him.
I'm so lucky.
I also want to say that the music video was directed... let's see, what's his name? Steve Barron. Do you know that name?
I do, because it's in my notes.
Oh, you came prepared.
I don't know. You said Steve Barron, and I was like, I've definitely heard that before, but I think I'm thinking of Steve Barron.
You might know him as the director of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I do.
The good one.
And, the 2007 one?
Yeah. And Coneheads. And he did the music video for Friend of the Pod, Africa by Toto. And Billie Jean, and a billion other things. This guy is very legit.
Wow.
What do you what does your notes say about
it? They say all of these things. He also did Dire Straits' Money for Nothing the same year, and it was basically these two videos against each other at the VMAs the whole time.
Oh, my God.
The money, every video
is. Is the Money for Nothing video the one with the guy who's all squares?
Yeah.
Oh. That guy. So the guy was just like, everything's animated. That's a music video.
Yep. He also did Summer of 69.
What?
I don't know what the video for that
one is. It's just walking around being a white guy.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. He's just walking around being a white guy from Canada, because it's Bryan Adams.
That's fair, yeah. So he repeated that concept for Toto's Africa also.
The Wild Dogs. So yeah, it took three releases, but by 1985, it was number one in America. And then a bunch of other countries too. This song popped the fuck off entirely because of the music video.
Which is like crazy because the song is so good, but I do feel like it's intrinsically linked to this video.
Well, I will say I did not know about this video until about 2 months ago.
Really?
I had never seen it.
Seriously?
Nah, not at all.
Oh, I feel like my first exposure to this song was the video.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, I don't know where I've been.
Well, an island, I guess.
Oopsie, that's true.
Yeah.
Do we have a sound effect for when things are true? Uh-oh, fact checked.
I don't think we do because it's never happened on this podcast before. LaToya, the tweet that we mentioned earlier is in direct relation to the video.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
A music video that horrified me and gave me nightmares as a child, which is the Take On Me music video.
Oh my God, why? Because of the hand?
Everything. Especially towards the end, when it's going from like animation to live action and he's like bashing against the wall.
Oh, yeah.
That's horrible. I watched it again today, still terrifying.
It is kind of.
It should have a trigger warning.
It's a haunting idea, even.
I think I was trying to like really parse out what made me so scared. And I think it's also kind of like that Who Framed Roger Rabbit thing, where like, I love that movie, until the end, where Christopher Lloyd is the scariest thing in the entire world.
Yes.
And that's what it reminds me of.
That's fair. Remember me, Eddie?
Oh, his voice gets so fucked up, too.
I gotta
watch
that
movie. Deserved an Oscar for that. That was crazy. What a snub. Him and Winnie the Pooh got snubbed. Guys, Winnie the Pooh and Christopher Robin is really good.
Should I tell her?
What?
That Winnie the Pooh is not a person?
Oh, you haven't seen Christopher Robin, sir.
Oh, I know. Even that. He's a bear.
I think you gotta watch Christopher Robin, man.
That's fair.
Who said bears can't win Oscars, honestly? Why didn't that bear win the Oscar the year Leo did? Because he shouldn't have won for that movie.
Look, the moment Paddington didn't get nominated, it was over for all bears.
This is bear slander, and I will not have this on our own podcast. Okay. I will say the thing that frightened me most about the music video is that the lead singer is so much hotter as a cartoon. And that felt like a huge betrayal.
He is?
Oh, he's so much hotter as a cartoon.
I guess I haven't seen it in a while.
And then he pops into real life, and you're like, oh, come on. Go
he's
ahead.
He's pretty hot.
He's very pretty, and I've seen him in modern time, and he, like, aged very well.
Oh, he's fucking hot.
Yes, he's very hot. But, like, he's maybe too pretty as a human, and he needs to be in cartoon form.
Yes.
Okay.
More palatable as a cartoon. Yeah.
Okay,
definitely.
So it's like a Beauty and the Beast type deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. The
he was fucking hot as the Beast. Right?
Yeah. No, yeah.
I disagree with that. But again, I was recently talking about Fox Robin Hood at a bar. And
he's
about,
hot.
She agrees.
He is, yes.
Yeah. He's fucking hot.
He's
so good to have an ally here.
I mean, wait, let's just also clear this up. Fox from Robin Hood, Fox from Zootopia, same Fox, right?
No, Jason Bateman isn't quite
cutting it.
No,
I'm saying look-wise, same Fox.
I don't know. The Fox from Robin Hood's hat really does a lot for me.
Yeah, it's the hat.
The
it's
hat.
The hat?
Mm-hmm.
The little, it's essentially an origami hat.
Yeah, but like the confidence to pull a hat like that off really speaks volumes about
and
his character.
And still be a badass?
Mm. Ugh.
Okay.
And also the moral character. The Fox from Zootopia is kind of a scumbag.
Yeah, but he learns a lesson.
Yeah, but Robin Hood starts having already learned the lesson, and I kind of seek that emotional maturity. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Judy Hopps.
So our hottie hot lead singer's name is Morton Harkett.
Morton
Harkett.
Harkett?
Morton Harkett. If you can't remember that name, just make a bunch of R sounds. You're probably right.
Call him Mort. Let's call him Mort.
Morton Harkett.
Oh, Morty. Anyway, his range in this song from that, I can't tell. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, 2.5 octaves. He's like fucking Norwegian Mariah Carey, man. That's crazy.
I feel like Mariah's range is more
it's
than
much
that.
Bigger. And I think she's like 4 or something. But still, that is so hard. The only note in this song I can't sing is that bottom note in the chorus.
Yeah.
And I have a female voice range. So that a man can sing that same note is kind of fucked up. Kind of maybe borderline illegal, but I don't know.
It's impressive.
Did you grab the unplugged version they did in 2017?
Unfortunately, I did.
Wait, unfortunately, is this the version you hate?
I don't hate it. It doesn't slap, but it did make me cry.
That's what I'm saying. It works for a different reason, but you don't like it?
No,
there's also another one that doesn't slap, but it's not by Aha.
Uh-huh.
So I can't look at this in an unbiased way because I experienced it for the first time while watching Deadpool 2.
That was your mistake.
I'm aware. It was masochism that drove me that way, and it's ruined film for me and also this song.
Also, this video's on YouTube, and he's looking so hot.
He's still, yeah. Scandinavian jeans are fucking great.
Looking like a snack, basically.
Indeed. Yeah. I'd like to take on him. That's not a pun. It's just the reverse of the sentence.
I don't know what I'm to say.
He has such control still, and he's, like, older now.
Yeah.
I love this.
I think it's very good.
It points out how cool these chords are.
Yeah.
I'll be coming for this part.
Yeah, I was not expecting to watch this and start crying in the middle of the day. I mean, I expected to cry in the middle of the day for other reasons, but, like, not this.
You never want it to be Aha that makes you cry.
This is true.
Aha!
Aha, a cry.
And then he does this cool thing to get her on the high note.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like it should be in the Christopher Robin trailer.
That's what I was just thinking! Why does this feel like Winnie the Pooh? It feels like we just went back to the 100 Acre Wood.
I do not know, but I think it's because you watched Christopher Robin literally last night.
That might be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be part of it. It is sad, though. I don't know why. It's so sad.
I mean, I think it's just... You can sing anything over that and it would be sad.
I mean, in theory, the song is actually sad.
Yeah.
Or it just has a poppiness to it. It's a kind of sad song.
Vulnerability is strong in this song.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
Yeah.
So you kind of mentioned it earlier, but Deadpool featured it. Actually, 10 movies featured it in 2018 alone.
What?
Yeah, the song's like having a huge resurgence. It's very crazy.
You don't have the list of the 10, do you?
I only grabbed 3, but it's Deadpool 2... I think Ready Player One and Bumblebee.
Ready Player One had it in there. I guess I didn't see Bumblebee, but Ready Player One had it, yeah.
But it's kind of been around for years now. Like, The Leftovers used it in their show, like, multiple times.
Yeah.
It's in La La Land. It's just, like, this song is just
it,
so
it is?
It's in Corky Romano.
It is? The La La Land of the 90s?
You didn't look at your notes for that one.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah, I actually blame Chloe LMAO from Vine. I think she did all of this.
5 years after Vine?
Well, because, you know, she did the Who Is She Vine.
Yeah.
Where she and whips around a camera with her hair all fucking fucked up and her braces and shit. Which is so funny because Chloe's so hot. So to like have made herself look like that is hilarious. But since then, I feel like it won't go away. I keep hearing it all the time.
I feel like it never went away.
Maybe it didn't. Again,
I haven't seen the video.
I haven't seen the video. I'm not an authority on this. That's all my notes. I'll tell you, what do you got?
Well, there's a sequel video to this.
What? Yes. Why did they... What is up with Warner? Why did Warner Brothers stake so much on this song?
So the sequel song is called The Sun Always Shines on TV.
Oh, that was their follow-up single.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh. And the video is a sequel. Basically, so it begins with, you know, the girl and him, and he starts fading into an animation again, and then he disappears, and it's like, the end.
What the fuck?
Okay.
That's how it starts.
Did you see that one as a kid?
No, I just watched it today for the first time ever, and also, it slaps.
Oh, good. I was going to say, because I feel like that one would have just made the nightmares even worse.
Well, it actually is horrifying for a different reason. So then the rest of the video is black and white, like in maybe in the church or like an empty gymnasium or something like that. And it's the band performing to an audience of naked, bald female mannequins.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck?
I'm intrigued. Go on.
And like at various occasions, it looks... Like, the mannequins are going, oh, or they have them, like, playing the cello, or that's the way it's set up. They're not moving, but, like, the way it sets it up, it's also traumatizing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sounds kind of cool.
It is cool. It's awesome.
It feels like something out of I Am Legend.
If I had seen it as a child, again, I would not go to sleep.
Yeah.
I think it might be worse, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was reading that. I think that they kind of deliberately didn't do the pop star thing because that song was a decent sized hit too. And this song was huge. They easily could have become a huge band, but they were like, we're Norwegian. We don't want to play this game. Bye bye. And also, Morten would have had to change his name, I think.
Nah.
Mort. Old Mort.
Mo.
Oh my God, we love you, Mort. I can't imagine that.
Just go by Mo.
Mo. Oh, that's a sick name.
Or Hark.
Hark.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Oof. We already created a star. Yeah. We got to write it now.
Poster of Hark on your wall.
Yeah.
Hark!
Hark, you got to hear this angel sing, is what the Teen Beat magazines would say. Here's the perfect time to announce I'm writing for Teen Beat now. Now. Not in the
Finally.
80s.
Finally.
Yeah.
That's everything I got. If you want to start the song.
I do want to start the song. Doesn't this just make you want to, like... run or like punch something.
Makes me want to recreate that vine.
It feels like I'm in a gym just punching a punching bag. Like, it's so kinetic. I'm fucking.
I love the way that bass sounds.
I love that it makes you feel so masculine.
Well, it does. It's just, I think it's the rhythm of it. Like, it both makes me feel masculine and makes me want to dance like the, like Chris Kattan in the I Wish It Was Christmas Today video, which
but
I've
not
mentioned before.
Like in Corky Romano?
I have not seen Corky Romano, as I am avoiding everything else that Chris Kattan has ever done.
You're a lucky human being that you never seen that movie, but he does sing along to this song in a car during this movie.
I bet it's the same dance, the little shimmy.
In this house, we reference Corky Romano. Yeah, I love a song that gives you like a false start.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's what the song is. Just kidding, within 30 seconds. It's like 2-in-1.
It is so fun. I don't know. I just imagine some sort of like, not, I don't want to say strong, but it's just like some sort of like driving movement. Like, I'm running.
Driving?
I mean, like driving like forward.
What about driving?
Driving, like pushing forward, like the verb, not car driving, like, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like some sort of movement like that. But I just imagine, like, for some reason in my head, it's a woman, but just like a montage of someone like punching something, like they're going to beat someone up.
Yeah, it's a really fun song to like picture coordinating your steps to the beat of it.
Yeah.
It's like it should be in Flashdance.
Yes. Ooh. And then on the take that she pulls the water bucket. I haven't seen Flashdance. Just that scene.
I think maybe it's because it has a super fast BPM.
I think
this song's
so.
Like 186 or something. It's extremely fast.
It is 168.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yes.
I mix
and
those up.
I only know that because it's technically 84, but because I had to do the punch up, like the editing of it, and that times two is that number.
They go to halftime in the second half of the chorus.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cool. I'm so excited.
I also love this part of the song where it has this sound. And that's the part that makes me think that's when they're saying, aha, because it sounds like it sounds like someone suddenly realizing something. Like just start.
Yeah.
Tell me what you had for breakfast.
For breakfast this morning, I had a piece of toast, some baked beans. I put the baked beans on.
Oh, my God. I think I left my oven on.
See, I hear that sound and I'm like, that was the sound that conceived Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. It's also the sound that conceived Metal Gear Solid. It's the sound he hears whenever he's sneaking around a corner. Just a... Anyway.
Yeah, I've never played that game, but
I've
totally.
Played 10 minutes of one.
Really?
Yeah.
You're like a real, like, take one tiny bite of everything in terms of your pop culture references.
It's like if I hear a thing reference, I go, what does that mean? And then I figure it out. I'm like, okay, cool. That's in the Rolodex.
Demi's like notorious at this point for referencing movies he's never seen, but for some reason knows the entire plot too.
Because I read shit. Often shit that you've written about.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I also love the bass here because it sounds like, first of all, we have the stems for this entire song, which is very exciting because it changes up so many times. The bass in this part both feels like a video game song and like an error message just being played over and over.
I feel like this should be in either Mario Kart or Mario Party.
Yeah.
And I want it in both, actually.
This rules. This does sound like an error message that someone like pitched up and down to make a song.
Seems like a YouTube poop. And then the song goes on to the part that I'm sorry I had to cut off before.
Thank you. I'm like a child when I hear this song.
Yeah.
This is my baby shark.
Have you seen that video? I think it's called Going...
Oh, sorry. That's my favorite part.
It's great.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
Have you seen that YouTube video? I think it's called Going to the Store, but it's just like a guy shot a bunch of footage in his neighborhood and then animated like a weird 3D walking model through it.
No.
It was like a real big thing, but that's what I imagined. Just like a weird figure walking to the... Like,
it's like the Spider-Man.
That's also traumatizing.
It is. Oh, so that video freaks me the fuck out.
You guys have seen the Spider-Man all jumping in a line behind each other dancing, right?
No.
Oh, really? Fuck. I think it was this song, too. It's like a bunch of Spider-Men. More Spider-Men just keep... It's all real. It's not a cartoon. It's like at Comic-Con or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? But there's just like...
By
the end of it, there's like 20 Spider-Men dancing.
People love to dress up in Spider-Man and Deadpool costumes and do weird things at conventions, and I just don't get it.
Hey, we're not kink shamers.
I don't think it's a kink.
I need to say, too, a car that I drove behind getting here today, the license plate, was Kink Boy. And the only bumper sticker other than that, or other than the novelty plate, was a Coldplay bumper sticker. And I'm so intrigued.
This guy doesn't fuck.
He does not.
He's a Coldplay bumper sticker.
He likes the idea of it.
Hey, listen, if King Boy's listening to this, hit me up. punchupthejam@gmail.com.
No, don't. Hey, that's our...
I just got a couple questions.
Just email... Just give them your email, not ours. The part that Miel was laughing about was...
Can you play the isolated vocal?
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
Here it is.
It sounds like a chicken. Play it again.
It does kind of sound like a chicken.
Oh, I love it. What is this sound?
It's just, it's like weird scatting. Oh, it does sound like a very beautiful chicken.
It's a paw. It's a paw. There's like a soft pea on the top.
That's
I'm
him.
I'm so curious how he arrived at that.
That's him before he's challenging someone to a fight. He's like, oh, you think you're, oh, you don't want to fight me? You're too strong? This guy's a chicken.
Arrested Development chicken impression.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
That's where they got it from. They got it from the song.
Honestly, sounds like it.
The funny thing is, there is another there's another sound that he makes before that. It's just so much quieter. It's, here, 1 second. Let me just make it louder.
Oh my God!
That's what it
means. That's real.
Yes, let me play here. Let me play it in context. That's after turning it up. It's so crazy. Wow.
What is that noise? Why would you do that?
It's because Mo fucks. So yeah. He's letting you know
Mo
immediately.
Fucks, dude.
Mo fucks.
Mo was fucking when they were recording.
Yeah.
I gotta go record real quick.
He's like, hang on 1 second. All right, let's roll.
It feels like he's getting the beat and then he's also just trying to find like the key or something. It's like like he goes into singing and then stops.
Why does it remind me of Sean Jordan from All Fantasy Everything's creepy voice?
Yeah.
Ew, stop.
Oh, even Marissa gave a preemptive, oh.
Let's play it again. Doesn't it sound like someone going,
ugh. No.
Ding, ding.
He sounds like he's having a mental episode at the top of this, and
it's
they left
so
it in.
He sounds like he knows he's attractive enough to get away from with doing that, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, imagine if he wasn't as hot as he was privilege. And he did that. It'd be so creepy.
And then, of course, we got to talk about this iconic riff. The thing that I love about this riff is every time I like think about it, I always imagine it being played by another instrument. I'm like, oh, it's probably just like the way I imagine it is so much funnier than when I hear it because I feel like I hear it and I'm like, no, it's just a beautiful riff. It's not really as like I just imagine like bah, 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 but it's like no, it's
like
genuinely
like corn,
like a tuba is what I was imagining, but I just imagine it being a lot funnier than it is, and then I listen to it and it's actually very beautiful.
Yeah. I think that part of the reason why this song works so well is because it's a combination of real instruments and electronic. So like the synth, it shines because it's got like real drums, and I think that bass is fake too, but there's like guitars in there.
Oh, I don't think the drums are real.
Really? They're fake too? I think it's both.
Oh, maybe.
That snare sounds kind of real.
It is so, like, I feel like every time I listen to this song, I never hear any guitar, but there's definitely guitar in there.
There's so much in here.
Yeah.
Isn't one of the stems called extra instruments or something?
There's additional instruments and there's guitar. Anyway.
Ugh. Happening with that bass at the end.
Oh, it goes so crazy at the end. Having the stems for this is a blessing because it helps me notice that the very first thing he says before talking away, he goes, oh, like almost before everything he says, he gives like a, or like a weird sort of hiccup.
I love him.
Like
I love him too.
Yeah.
Don't tell me he's done something bad. I don't want to know. Mort is a place in my heart.
He directed movie 43, I'm sorry to say. That's the worst thing he's ever done. Here is that sound. I'm going to play it in full just so you can.
He's got like a youthful zest in his voice.
Yeah.
You hear it?
I also feel like this is the proto version of like how indie female singers sing now. It's like just that sort of like hitting every like corner.
Oh, yeah.
Talking away. like sort of just trying to control it in a way that makes it feel like you're doing a lot more than you are.
Yeah, he's coming in and out on like the dynamics constantly.
Yeah.
Like talking away.
Talking away.
That was good.
I don't know what. And he has like such a slight accent here that it just kind of obfuscates what he's actually fucking saying.
Yeah.
Which is great because he's actually cramming quite too many words into a small space.
Oh, he's saying a lot.
What did he say?
He said, "We're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you. Shying away, I'll be coming for your love, okay?"
Okay, so is this to say that this is like him and like a love interest and they're not together yet and he's like nervous and he wants to tell them that he likes them but he doesn't really know how? And then he kind of doesn't say anything, and he's like, "Well, maybe tomorrow I'll finally make the first move."
Beautiful.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, that's what I think it is.
I think so.
I love when he says, "We're talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway." It's like kind of poetic.
But he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. Mort's scared. He's just a scaredy Mort.
Wait, is he the one shying away?
I think so.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be like, "Today is another day to find you shying away." Because then I was like, him saying, "I'll be coming for your love, okay," is just weird.
I mean, I think
he's promising, I'm going to do it. This time I'm really going to do it. He's not going to do it, though.
That's kind of how I read it. But if your read is right, then you think she's shying away?
Yeah.
So then it's creepy that he'd say, "I'm coming anyway."
I mean, I think it's creepy for him to say, "I'll be coming for your love, okay," period.
Yeah. I mean, if they're both kind of into it and neither of them want to make the first move, I don't think it's that crazy.
There's nothing to suggest that she has no agency in this story whatsoever, but yeah, that's true.
It's true. I just love the melody, too. "We're talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway."
It's so, he like just goes all over the map, but it works so well.
And then the way he "find you." Do you have that vocal?
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear that part.
Let's hear this whole thing.
"Talking away. I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay?"
It sounds like he's trying not to cry.
Yeah.
"Shying away.
Shying away. I'll be coming for..."
It's kind of like beautiful, though. Yeah. I like it.
No, it's a really pleasant sound, despite also being very fucking weird.
I will say, like, I've definitely heard the song too many times, but it kind of doesn't bother me. Does that make me trash?
No. There,
I like it.
It's weird. There are certain songs that I feel like hearing them so many times, I'll just be like, "God, this fucking song again." But maybe it's just because I've heard it so many times over so many years, but spread out. Like, it never hit, like, a meme high, like so many other songs, like Africa did. Uh-huh. Or like fucking...
"Never Gonna Give You Up."
Yes, where it's like, every time I hear it, it's in an unpleasant circumstance. With this one, it's just like, no, I'm always only hearing it in a nice way, so
yeah,
it's fine.
I mean, also, it just slaps so hard, I don't think we can look past that. Like, it slaps a hard P.
It do slap.
It slaps.
It sounds like you're saying slap puss.
It does slap
puss. It does that too, yeah.
It does slap puss.
That's what the noise is.
Yeah. And this is... but yeah, like you were mentioning what the bass does at the end, I want to hear that again.
What happened? Okay, now we're fighting the boss.
Yes, yeah, we've entered the boss stage, and that's the take on me part.
The boss, Jerry Seinfeld.
I was so badly wish that was a game we could play.
What's the deal with the reports? Where are they?
Final level.
God, I want so much to just play this with every variation of like pieces muted and like just, but I won't, but it's just so many interesting different things happening.
Well, the synth is doing something really cool here too. There's like some weird arpeggiating thing. Yeah, that.
It's like Echo the Dolphin music. All of this is just video game music from different video games.
No, wait, play that again.
This is Rayman.
This is such a sick beat.
It is.
Imagine someone rapping over this.
Yeah, Lil B will get to this. Oh, wait, no, this is a... Do you guys remember PC music?
Uh-uh.
I feel like that was a big thing for a while. Just, I think they had...
Like Myst?
No, like literally, although it does sound like that type of PC music, but I think like either a genre or artist called PC music. It's fine. I'm too... uneducated to speak about anything more than the fact that it sounds like PC music, a thing I've heard once.
I feel like it kind of sounds like the Lil Yachty song that samples Mario 64.
I don't know what song that is.
I don't remember the name, but it's a good song.
Experts. Experts on this podcast only.
It sounds like a thing that I don't want to talk any more about, but I am going to call it out.
Yep.
I just want people to know I know a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know a lot. I know a little bit.
I can talk about Corky Romano.
Oh, please.
Well, Toya, what if you say nothing else?
We're the third biggest Corky Romano podcast on iTunes right now.
I mean, it's not that hard, I'm sure.
It's pretty hard. There's so many. I mean, you got What the Cork. You got Everybody Loves Ray Romano, which is Ray Romano's podcast, but he only talks about Corky Romano. I can't list the rest of them.
Are Corky really and Ray brothers?
One is father, one is son.
The extended Romano universe.
Today is another day to find you, shine away.
I'll be coming for you.
Well, I'll be coming for your lover. Okay.
Woo! The drums here. I've never noticed that choir behind him.
Oh, yeah.
That fucking rules.
It's so great. Whoever produced Alan, whatever, Turing, was very good at.
Alan Rickman's first work.
Yes, you have to add a choir in the back there. It's, yeah, the chorus is really what makes this song, I think, just
like, soar.
Yeah.
It feels like this is the song version of Soarin' California.
Ooh, yes. California Adventure?
My favorite ride at California Adventure.
I don't think I've ever been on it.
They blast smells into the room. Smells.
Like 4DX?
Like 4DX, exactly.
Do they do smells in 4DX?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I need to see a 4DX movie.
I know that from seeing San Andreas in 4DX.
What do you smell like?
Fucking
California
trauma.
Fire. Which is not just something you want to have in a movie theater.
Jesus.
Like, oh, I'm going to pay more for a ticket to smell smoke for 2 hours.
I feel like it would smell like Axe body spray just from looking at The Rock.
I think The Rock smells good. I'm sure he does. I don't think he smells like Axe body spray.
Really?
I think
he smells like really good Axe body spray.
Really good Axe body spray.
Or like Old Spice.
You think The Rock's an Old Spice guy?
No.
I don't
know. Special Rock Old Spice that no one else can get.
Oh, yeah, like made from his own pheromones.
He's probably got like some sort of like Under Armour sponsored deodorant that they give to all of their, not clients, the people who, spokespeople. I don't even think he is a spokesperson for Under Armour. I just picked a thing that seems
like
he was.
Actually, perfect segue. Speaking of spokespeople, should we take an ad break?
Oh, let's. And we're back. The Rock?
Maybe it smells like rocks.
Smell like rocks.
Someone else talk.
Okay.
I think you got to hear. Okay, this guitar, again, I did not know there was guitar in this song, but where it comes in is very fun because, like, it comes in with the big change right here.
It doesn't get played very well.
But it's the only thing that feels like it's for sure real. Which is why I like it.
It's very weird that those notes, like, in the chords don't sound like they're being held down hard enough.
I feel like that's on purpose, but...
Oh, you think, like, a punk thing?
Not a punk, just like everything is overpowering it, so why bother playing it on key?
Mm.
It sounds like a 90s rock ballad, which would have a music video shot in black and white.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like got some Train vibes, I feel like.
Like a Four Non-Blondes type deal.
Yeah, 25
See, I was thinking Extreme, that was like my exact reference, but okay.
It sounds like it, dude.
So he says, take on me.
Which I guess literally translated to Norwegian means touch me.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Touch me.
Touch me.
Touch on me.
Well, actually, that line
touch me.
Means in Norwegian, put me on like clothing.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Wait, touch me, put me on. I'll be gone in a day or two.
Let's do it, because I want to nail and bail, baby.
Maybe.
Okay, so the I'll be gone in a day or two really recontextualizes the I'll be coming for your love, okay? Because it feels like he's saying, like, you got to make a move because I'm going to leave.
I think he's saying, I can't stand to put myself out there and be rejected for more than a couple days. So if I make a move and you don't reciprocate, like, I'm not going to try anymore.
But he doesn't want to make a move. That's why he's saying, you take on me.
I interpret take on me to be like, take a chance on me.
Yeah, chance, that's, take a chance.
If you change your mind.
But that's asking her to take a chance on him.
Yeah, I think, like, if I make that, I think he's still like realizing I need to be the one to initiate this. But if I do, like, please reciprocate. That's the way I'm picking up on it. I don't know if that's correct.
And if not, I'm moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not telling you to touch me. I like consent.
I know. This is like actually kind of like a good lesson in boundary setting. He's like, so I do like you. I am afraid. I will make a move. And when I do, I hope you reciprocate. And if you don't, I'm going to move on in a day or two.
He's very respectful.
I feel like I'm reading it in a completely different, completely disrespectful way, in that he's saying, like, you should take a chance on me. Come on, let's do this. I'm just leaving in 2 days. What does it matter?
I think we've grown so attached to Mort now, we don't want to think the worst of him.
I don't think badly of him either way. I'm just kind of like, what a weird song.
Yeah, sorry. Lyrically. I gotta stand by my boy Mort. Mort would never.
Stand by her man.
No, I think that I totally see what you're saying. That could be it, too. And it's like, listen, I only am here for a few days. Let's have some fun.
Yeah.
Definitely could be. I just don't feel like if it were so casual, you'd be nervous. That's the only thing.
That's why I think shying away might be her being like, he's like, you're pretending you don't want, like, you're shying away from me. I'll be coming for your love, okay?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think this is just mistranslation and, like, weird context being lost from being in a different language.
Maybe.
Because that's, like, that's scary the way you're reading it.
I just think it's too many things are linking up for me to be like, that's, all right.
Yeah. Making it very Robin. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Ugh, Robin. What a horrible adjective.
Yeah, I don't.
Marissa, can you bleep that?
I got a Robin.
Ew!
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Please bleep that.
This whole episode is just half bleeps.
That's what the people want.
And also, we got to talk about him hitting that high note.
Oh!
Actually, let me just play this entire thing with just the vocal solo.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
I'm coming for your love, okay? Take on me.
Sir!
My favorite thing about that is not the ending. The ending's great, but for some reason I love the little take me on. That's where I'm like, it gets beautiful in that on, the transition.
I think the whole thing's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think he so masterfully switches into like a mix. I don't know if that's a proper term. It's what my old vocal coach used to call it. Like a mixed register where it's like equal parts falsetto and chest.
Oh, yeah.
And he does it on B. I'll be gone.
Oh, yeah.
So you kind of can't hear that giant jump. It makes it all feel so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that fucking rules.
It's so good. And there's a very, like, I didn't hear it until I had it in the solo, but there's a very slight echo on the entire thing that just makes
delay.
It even more, like, ethereal, which is so cool. Yeah. Do you think that he did those backup vocals himself?
I don't think. It sounds like someone else to me.
Yeah?
Play it again.
Take on me.
I have no clue.
It could be him, but yeah, no idea.
Ugh, that's what I want to hear when I die.
You want to hear
a Radiohead Reckoner? I want to hear Take On Me, isolated vocal.
you want to hear a like St. Peter beckoning you like, come on, let's do this. I'm leaving in 2 days. You got 2 days to decide if you want to be in here.
Yeah, except it's not St. Peter, it's Mort.
It's Mort? Why do you want him dead too?
I mean, in a perfect world, he'll be dead already by the time
I die. In a perfect world, he'll be dead already. For someone that you supposedly like a lot, that's a heavy sentence.
I don't know Mort. I've just decided I like him in the last 30 minutes.
That's fair.
I need to look up Mort's Wikipedia right now. Just make sure he hasn't done anything terrible.
He's probably a horrible man.
Oh, no, I'm sure he's fine. He was in Deadpool, and no one bad has ever been in Deadpool. Ooh. A little swing on that.
Okay. it's no better than Mrs. Edison's salary.
That little, like, the, yeah, the way he, like, goes into, like, a deep barbershop, like, it's no better to Mrs. Edison's salary.
And his accent's, like, so thick there for some reason.
It's great.
It's no better to Mrs. He sounds like, what's his name from, the fucking character actor Peter, I think his name is, you know.
Peter Stormare?
Yes, thank you. Yes. That's exactly who I'm thinking of. Didn't he sound like that? The back of the throat singing, it's no better to be safe than sorry. I feel like he's like CIA.
It's no better to be safe than sorry.
I can just feel him like bulging his Adam's apple out to get, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Like,
it's also like singing in that place in your throat. Inherently sounds so foreign to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear American singers sing like that.
It's got like a bass to it. I like it.
Ugh.
So, needless to say, I'm odds and ends, but I'll be stumbling away, slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. This is a very bad pitch for someone to take on you.
This is, he doesn't know what to say.
He's shy. So he's just like, all right, let me just list all the...
He's going to say it anyway.
Here, I'm going to list all the worst qualities about me, but still say, take on me, please.
Just like a man.
Just like us. We're brilliant.
He's just shy. He's a little shy guy.
I also like that he says, take on me. Like, just the phrase take on suggests that it's like, it won't be an easy thing. Yeah, like, you never say you're going to take on something that's... like,
hey, you want to take on this vacation?
Yeah.
Hey, do you want to take on this assignment?
It's never, yeah. It's never.
Only the former latter.
Positive.
I know words. It's needless to say. I don't understand what he's actually talking about anymore. So are we to assume that the chorus is part of the narrative and he said this to her? Like, he was like, all right, fuck it, I'm going to say it. Take on me.
I feel like chorus is the pitch. Like, he's like, here's what I want you to agree to. And then he's going back to just saying more things to be like, I'm going to convince you to take on me.
Mm. In my mind, the first one, he was like, listen, I don't know how to say this, so I'm so nervous. I don't know. We'll see. I love you, and I want you to date me, and I hope you date me, and please date me, and if you don't, I'm going to leave. So I guess now that I've said that, feeling kind of crazy, but I guess no better to be safe than sorry.
That's what The Bachelor is, right?
Yes. This should be the theme for The Bachelor. Pick one girl.
Pick one girl.
They'll be wise.
Yes, they will.
We won't mind if you dump them soon.
And that's the punch up. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. ABC, get in contact.
I kind of like that line. It's no better to be safe than sorry. I'm not sure I agree with it, but I like it.
It just sets himself up. Sorry, continue.
Well, I think maybe him being safe is him not saying the things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why he's like, I'm going to say these things, even though I suck at it.
Yeah, it's like kind of inspiring.
Why is he saying say after me? Is he telling the girls like, hey, we can agree on this, right? No better to be safe than sorry.
I think he's trying to justify his own candidness by being like, listen, you miss all the shots you don't take, huh?
And she's like, what are you? Just say it. Just spit it out.
She's like, just stop talking so I can give you an answer.
And instead he's like, I need you to repeat after me so that we can come to a consensus on this one thing. And then I'll get back to asking you out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I kind of agree. I kind of don't. I feel like if you have a gut feeling about somebody at the top that's a negative one, you should probably listen to it. I don't feel like those usually go away. They're just kind of hidden over time and then resurface 5 years into your relationship. But I do kind of feel like at the same time, there's so much apprehension and reservation with falling in love. It's like, just fucking jump. Just fucking do it. Just fucking dive in head first. If you belly flop, who cares? It was still an experience.
I feel like... I would not...
Anyway, so that's my speech. Thank you for considering me to be on The Bachelor.
I feel like I would not belly flop immediately after someone says, all right, so look, I'm odds and ends. I'm kind of just coming to terms with my, with learning that life is fine. But hey, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Let's do this.
Yeah.
It's a terrible pitch.
I mean, it's a good segue back into him saying, let's do this again.
Sure, but he does have to segue into it.
Any thoughts, LaToya?
Jesus.
Big sigh.
This verse is a mess.
Yeah.
It is a mess.
It's because he's foreign, isn't it?
I kind of think so. Because, like, you really hear the accent, too, on this verse, which I don't know if that was on purpose or not.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the worst translated of what he's trying to actually say. And then there's that.
I don't know if it's, like, present tense or past. You know what I mean? If he's, like, referring to the thing he just said or if he's, like, going back to the narrative of verse one and verse two is, like, just for the audience.
I feel like he is probably going, I think, because he wouldn't say needless to say if he wasn't referring to a previous
yeah
something. Huh. So maybe it's like, maybe it is he's the one shying away, because he, if he's shying away, then it makes sense for him to say, needless to say, I'm odds and ends and I'll be stumbling through this.
Yeah, he's a little dork boy. He's just a little sweetie dork. Mort. Hey, did you Google him? Is he bad?
I didn't have reception to do it.
Might so be for I the guess best. We'll never Ignorance know. Is bliss.
This is why you guys don't fact check.
This is why we don't fact check. So we can say the craziest shit and just be like, ah, the studio's a cell cave. We can't get anything.
Oopsies.
I'm so sorry. I'm just going to make wild statements.
Did
and
you
then
say
Google.
A cell cave?
I did say a cell cave. When I can't think of words, I just pick two words that are related to what I'm thinking.
Did you mean a Faraday cage?
I did mean a Faraday cage.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
These are all words I don't know, so I'm going to join by saying a word that doesn't make anything make sense. Baby boopy da da yum.
Not even a word. It's just sounds.
That's just scatting.
That's what words are. That's a word.
You think words are just sounds?
Yeah.
She's Nell from the movie Nell.
Yeah, okay.
I'm on 3008. You're 2000 late.
This is the first time you've ever said that correctly, and you still said, I'm on 3008.
I'm on 3008.
What is that? Is that a medicine?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's making me real dumb.
Please tell your doctor to lower your dosage of the 3008 you're taking. Now we can get into the fun part.
This is the scary part.
No, this is the...
I hate these spider sounds. So scary.
Spider sounds?
Race car game.
Now you're making sounds too. I hate that part.
I love it.
Go, Speed Racer, go.
Oh, it does. Yeah. I will be mad if this wasn't in the live-action Speed Racer movie.
I don't think it was.
Ugh, I'm mad. I lived up to my promise, and now I'm mad. They're back.
Ah, go away, spiders.
So you see spiders.
Space spiders.
Space even.
These are space spiders, man.
Okay. When I isolate this.
Those are the big spider motherfuckers from Matrix.
And they're Matrix?
From the Matrix.
We only talk about Wachowski movies now.
Yeah.
They're coming to get our ship. They know where we are. They're going to disconnect Neo and they're going to kill him.
And to me, it feels like the ladies from Bound.
What's
that was a joke only for LaToya. Bound is the first movie the Wachowskis made. I'm so sorry. To me it sounds like two things. One, it sounds like Tom and Jerry chasing each other. Like the tiny little feet moving around
real
quick.
That asshole little mouse.
Asshole little mouse. Oh.
Okay, that's terrifying.
I hate it.
I did not add the reverb onto it. And then it swells back up again. The best thing is it swells up with this.
Make it stop.
There's like a weird like shoot. Sound.
We gotta get Neo out of there.
We gotta
into
get
the
Neo
Matrix.
Out of there.
I know, it's scary as hell.
But it also sounds like the Batman, like the sound that they make between Batman like transitions in the old 66 series, which is why I decided to put that in instead and see how it sounds. Yeah, still unpleasant.
That's
still very
that's
unpleasant.
Identical.
It sure is.
That's a
lawsuit
great...
incoming.
From who to whom?
From Batman, the actual Batman to AHA.
He's got money, yeah. AHA's fucked, I'm sorry to say.
I said earlier that this is my baby shark, and this part of the song feels like it's just an actual fucking shark. It's terrifying.
I'm just now, what did you mean by it's my baby shark?
I love it, and it makes my brain go numb. You know what I mean? It's so hooky that
it's just like a very simple sort, like it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like, and I don't know how to say this without it sounding like a diss, but it does feel like a very kindergarten kind of sound.
It's because it's so hooky.
Yeah.
This is exactly the kind of music that kids like.
Yeah.
That's why it for me, is Baby Shark.
Cool kids.
That's right. I smoked cigarettes when I was four.
Ooh.
This is a dangerous kid. Yeah.
Yeah. This kid is bad.
Sorry. I was breastfeeding up until I was eight.
This kid is unhealthy.
Oh,
yeah. Everything you say about this kid is just another detail that worries me.
So what is cool then?
This kid has not been vaccinated.
Ooh. Let's get Child Protective Services on this one.
Hang on. Just not for my... Oh, my God.
Sorry. I just wanted to play the Batman sound. Sorry. What were you going to say?
I was just going to ask really quick, apropos of nothing. What is a cool kid thing? Not for me.
Well, to me, I gotta say it's like listening to your parents, doing your homework on time, eating all those vegetables, and only playing your music at a reasonable volume.
Is your mom listening to the podcast now or something?
I hope not, after us saying this song slaps puss, and amongst other things,
yeah.
I guess.
I really hope my mother is not listening as well. I shouldn't have told her
my
about
mom doesn't know. My mom doesn't know what a podcast is.
My mom says that her friends listen to the podcast and that they like it.
The fact that not only do your parents like have heard the podcast, but your dad has been on here. I'm like,
they don't know how to listen
different
to things podcasts.
Do not fly.
They were like, wow, so you're telling me you rewrite a song every month? And I was like, dog, week. And yeah. They were like, oh, that's too much, and I can't get invested. Goodbye.
Yeah, no, that's fair, and also how I kind of treat this podcast.
True. Also, I just realized sometimes my laugh sounds like the hook to this song.
I was like, you're going to fake that laugh, and then it's going to become real. There it is. There, I was like, I'm going to wait for it to become real, and then we'll move on. It's so good. Wait, I want to listen to the part where it changes up here. Okay.
No, no more space spiders. I hate them.
No, fine. I'll cut out the space spiders.
Thank you.
But I do want to drop into that. What is it? Is that the synth? Yeah.
This feels like a Jim Henson soundtrack.
Oh, wait.
Okay, so you see space spiders. Now I remember what I see. I'm seeing scarabs from The Mummy. That's what I'm seeing.
Oh, that's so much more... I don't know. I feel like this sounds so much more whimsical.
This sounds like the Dark Crystal background music.
The more you play it, like, the worse it gets, actually. Yeah. So, yeah, now I'm seeing scarabs.
I love this fucking bass.
Yeah, this is like the final boss in a space battle.
Watch out for the spikes, Mario.
Spikes.
Yeah, this is the one, like, the water's, like, filling. You have to really go fast.
Yeah. I want to hear just the synth alone again. That was cool.
Alrighty. Oh, wait.
Yeah. This is like the Skeksis have the crystal.
Wait, shit, what does this sound like to me?
This sounds like the Dark Crystal.
I haven't seen the Dark Crystal, though. I'm trying to think of what it... Wait, you knew that.
I did?
We talked about it yesterday.
We did?
Oh, no. She's having the troubles.
My 3008 is wiped my brain!
Because to you, it wasn't yesterday, it was 2,000 years ago. Also, when the drums change up. Oh, that's not as interesting as I thought it was.
No, that halftime change in the chorus rules, though. I wish I had a bad thing to say about this song other than the space spiders. I love it. I just love it.
I do love this song.
It's the most basic thing I've ever loved, but I fucking love it.
I do think I don't like the lyrics, though.
Huh.
What were you
saying? I like the lyrics to start, and then we already talked about how the second verse is...
Falls apart.
It's, yeah. But I'm glad I'm on, like, the episode for the best song you guys have ever done, so it works out.
It's no fucking Come On, Eileen. Fight me, Dexy.
It's no You Ought to Know, actually.
Yeah, true.
You?
So now she is shying away.
Oh my god, wait.
You're shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway.
Okay, I have a new theory. I think we're time jumping between verses.
Ooh.
I think verse one is like, he's like, I want you to date me. And then verse two, they are dating. And he's like, fuck, I don't think I know how to do this. And then verse three, she's like, she's into it. But then she's kind of like, I don't know, this doesn't feel like it's working. And that's him realizing like, I gotta fucking figure this out. I can't blow it. We're off on rocky footing, but I can fix this.
Wow, you really are 3008.
I'm telling you.
You cracked it.
I have no memory, and I can't riff to save my life, but I can figure out song meanings when there's nothing.
Yo, solved music. It's all done now. We got it.
This is such a confusing verse to me.
It doesn't make sense.
Is it a life or just to play my worries away?
But that's referencing the things that she says.
You're all the things I've got to remember. You're shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway.
Real guess? That this didn't translate to English. Heart guess that she's talking about hypotheticals and he can't tell if she's serious about like describing their future together or if she's just blowing smoke up his ass to make him feel better because he's so insecure in this relationship. And then he's asserting how much he loves her by saying, you're all the things I've got to remember.
Your milk, baby. Your eggs. Your three slices of cheese. You're the fucking toilet paper. You're everything I gotta remember. You're me going to the gas station after work. You're me that I gotta finish the papers and send that email. You're everything. You're paying the rent.
That's a planner, Demi.
Demi just read a planner.
You're all the things I've got to remember. You're a scheduled call with accountant, all right? Make sure to email Marissa later.
Demi is actually reading his calendar.
No, I'm not, okay? Make sure to remember to upload bonus episode to Patreon. Okay? Your delete tweets.
I think in the first verse, he was saying he's shying away and he's going to do it anyways. And I think in this one, he's saying she's shying away. And now he's like, I'm gonna fix this. I'm going to like make the big gesture. I'm going to win you back.
I'm doubling down on my theory that she was always never into it. And he's saying, I'm going to come for you.
Jesus Christ.
Horrifying.
He's the one who says you're shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Shying away, buddy.
It explains the space spiders, why he might use them.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to send these spiders into her brain and trick her into loving
me. Like in Minority
me.
Report. They're coming to scan
why
her
is Minority
eyes?
Report a movie I've seen and don't remember anything from?
It's actually the same, and which is crazy because I feel it's a great movie and I need to rewatch it, actually.
It's definitely good. Colin Farrell doesn't do bad things.
Yeah, he was in Daredevil, and that's a great movie.
Phone Booth?
It's a very good movie. I love Phone Booth.
Phone Booth is awesome, actually.
Yeah.
I was kidding, but In Bruges is good.
I know, I genuinely love
Phone
Booth.
Phone Booth is awesome.
It rules. I distinctly remember watching that movie. Yeah. Oh, things that you say.
I love the way he sings. And when we were doing the punch up, I was like trying to imitate him. And I was like, how do you do this? And I was like, oh, you have to dance while you sing.
Yeah, you really
do.
You
cannot emulate this without dancing. Oh,
things that you say.
Ooh, that's a very Robert Smith from The Cure kind of like yell.
Things that you say. Oh, things
that... It's Friday. I'm in love. Oh, yeah. Tiny little space spiders. Oh,
they are capable of love!
I forgot to even mention that they come back.
No!
I'm sorry. The additional instruments track is literally just what you've referred to as the space spiders. What is that, do we think? Is it just more synth?
No. That he's, like, available to book. He's a session player.
Space spider?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Space spider.
He did a lot of great stuff in the 80s. This is Flight of the Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
Playing the space spiders.
That shit feels like we're in helicopters over Vietnam. I know this is the verse that we just did, but I'm still playing it again. And then it goes back into the chorus, but which is the end? Should I just play the rest of it?
I think we just play the rest of it.
Take on me. Take on me.
Oh, it's just a day now. It's been a day.
Take on me.
Ooh, came in hot.
Take on me.
I love that little synth like solo in the background.
Yeah, it comes in the back. Bum, 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 bum. This goes on way longer than I thought it would.
Oh no, get out of here. Get out of here.
That's the spiders carrying out the song.
The spiders murdered them both.
Like a New Orleans funeral procession.
Exactly.
Man, spiders probably could carry some heavy shit if they were as big as space spiders.
I mean, Spider-Man is strong for a reason.
Yeah, imagine if your clothes were made out of spider webs. Man, I don't know.
Is that, well, do you think,
I don't know what I'm saying.
Do you think Spider-Man's suit is made of spider webs?
I don't know. It was a thought I shouldn't have said out loud.
No, it's fine. I mean, everything that I feel like I say on this podcast, I go like, no, shouldn't have recorded that. So it's fine to have another person doing it.
Okay, good. Because I just feel like clothes that were made out of spider webs would not only look hella cool, but they would never rip or pill or anything.
Oh, they'd rip.
Nuh-uh. It's so strong. It's so strong.
You ever walk through a spider web?
No, a big one. A big spider's web. What? Relative to their body size, there's webs that's hella strong.
I mean, relative to their body size, yes, but they're tiny people.
What I'm saying is space spiders are bigger, and they have stronger
webs.
Did you
just call spiders people?
I did, and I was hoping that we'd move past it.
No,
I'm glad that we didn't.
No, he's correct. That's just facts.
Spiders are, it's just that I'm very inclusive of all beings.
No,
spiders are people.
They do God's work.
I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I don't believe spiders are people.
Well, agree to disagree. You know, my religion's my religion, so.
If you kill spiders, you're going to hell. And even if you put spiders outside and don't kill them, you're still going to hell because they probably die out there. Just let them live in your house.
Here's a question. If a spider dies and you knew and could have prevented its death, did you kill the spider?
Yes.
Oof.
What is this, Schrodinger's
cat? Going to hell, baby!
Going to hell!
Fuck.
Yeah, guess what? Me and all my spider friends will be in heaven, but not
the
space
spiders.
I was
asked to donate to a GoFundMe for a spider, and I didn't, and it didn't reach the goal. It's fine.
This episode brought to you by spiders, but not space ones.
Sorry, we're not home right now. We're walking into spider webs.
Yes, the best band ever.
No doubt?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, sorry, I was asking. No doubt that's the best band ever?
No diggity.
Oh.
No diggity, no doubt.
Okay, the vocals here are wild because when he goes up into the... Or I guess he just says day.
Well, you
here.
Just nailed that perfectly.
Thank you. When he goes into that... He just, it seems like he just lets the chorus sing under him, which I love. This is heavenly. The voice also sounds so weird now.
Is this like a Sister Act sequel?
Yeah. No, it legitimately feels like...
Another Sister Act sequel.
What would Sister Act 3 be called?
Back in the Habit again.
Pleasey.
Old Habits Die Hard.
Look, they spent... Fuck, that's
God
really
Debbie.
Good. They spent all
Hire
the...
me, TV!
They spent all the money on writing the sequel, and then they're like, we need a title. It's going into theaters tomorrow.
Has this been arranged in some, like, you know, Pitch Perfect movie or something? Because it's, like, crying out for it, right?
It does seem like it.
I did it once. I watched the first two, and that was good.
I can't watch them because I acapella does something to me, and I cannot stand it.
That's funny because Acapulco does something to me.
Well, that's
diarrhea.
I was gonna say it's the dysentery. I don't like acapella. You gave me a look like you're like what?
Oh, as though I love acapella. I'm surprised.
No, I did genuinely. I was like, I'm sorry. Did I offend you? Are you a secret member of Pentatonix? Oh, okay. That is a no.
Hey, that was just like acapella.
That was just a normal reaction that came out of my body.
That's fair.
It was involuntary. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I love acapella. Sing more. Your throat's an instrument. Use it.
I do, for singing and singing alone, not for mimicking instruments.
The only acapella I accept is from Glee.
Not even. It turns into a big choir thing there. You get the instruments coming back in at random intervals, like when the spiders come in here. Here, let me play it with those turned up so you can hear it in context. What instrument is that?
I mean, it's probably just a little synthy, baby.
It feels like a very, like a man on speed playing the xylophone.
It was the cocaine
and that's
80s.
What the synths are.
That is what synths are.
Yeah.
A man on speed playing the xylophone.
Yeah. Everyone looks like Jethro Tull and they're playing the xylophone. Like, you're doing 84? Cool. I'll do like 75,000. Okay. Is there anything more to even say about this besides the fact that, like, the vocal performance in this.
Stunning.
It's stunning. It goes to a very churchy place at the end there.
Oh, he took me to church.
Yeah.
And then those space spiders dragged me to hell. I love this fucking song.
It's beautiful.
You can't change my mind.
Yeah,
I know
so
it's bad, but I like
it.
Can't
be changed. Wait, why do you think it's bad? Or why do
just
you know it's bad?
Like, it's ultimate 80s cheese, you know?
Why does that make it bad, though?
The thing is...
I'm not saying it's bad to me. I'm just saying I know there's someone listening that's like, oh, it's fucking a hack song.
I don't think they'd be listening to this podcast.
They probably like The Doors,
podcast.
Though, so...
Ah, fuck the Doors.
I feel like this song, as much as ultimate 80 cheese as it is, it does also feel like it kind of set the tone. Because to me, when here, like, if you played the original version, it totally sounds like that's the, like, this is the cheesy 80s version of it. Like, this is the Tears to Fears version of it. And then
Tears for Fears.
Sorry, Tears for Fears.
I said Tears to Fears?
Tears to Fears.
Sorry, that's the two prequels before Tears for Fears was Tears to Fears.
Two Tears, Two Fears.
It was the conversion rate I'm talking about. But then, like, I don't know, all of these synths added onto it do sort of make it feel like, maybe
drums.
At the time, yeah, it just all feels like it could have been different at the time. Like, it doesn't feel like it's 80s to me. It feels like, oh, this is what set the tone for the 80s from there on forth. Or then
it was 85. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can make that case.
Right.
I just think it's so iconic.
Springsteen, Madonna.
And I think even on the radio today, this doesn't sound that dated. Which is kind of insane because a lot of the production they use is extremely dated. But, like, I think the songwriting and the instrumentation they made, like, it speaks for itself. I think that's why people are using it so much still.
And you throw some reverb on anything, it sounds, that's always good.
Ugh. LaToya, any final thoughts before we show you what we did to it?
Yes, let's see. Just going to say, again, music video, terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The arm busting through the comic book.
I wish it was so much easier to discuss a video on an audio podcast, but the thing that I always think about is those guys chasing them with wrenches.
Yes.
What's
Who are
the
they?
Deal? I don't know.
What did they do wrong?
I think he was a drag racer, and he was... I don't know why they have wrenches, because they're like cops, right?
Oh, maybe...
They look like cops, but I don't think they are. I think they're like...
The
guys...
drag racing cops,
maybe
they have
wrenches.
Maybe
they're like fake cops. Like,
those are the guys that go whoop, whoop, wah, wah, when you stop at the race.
Oh, I don't...
The pit crew. They're pit crew.
Yes, they're pit crew, and they're like, this guy's supposed to be out racing. Let's get him, boys.
And kill his girlfriend?
Let's kill his girl and teach him a lesson about how you don't not race around here.
That should have been optioned into a movie, honestly. Like, Encino Man 2, but, like, comic book man.
Take on, like,
Like, because that guy's a comic, and now he's in the real world. He's gonna need to learn the ropes.
And apparently not, because he dies pretty
soon. Wait, isn't that... That's the plot of, Space Jam.
A comic becomes real?
Yeah, Bugs Bunny gets into the real world.
He knows the ropes, though. Bugs Bunny knows everything.
Well, yeah, because he's smart. He's a have you seen how many carrots he eats? That guy's a genius.
Yeah, carrots make you smart, dog.
He's such a freaking...
He only hangs out with doctors? Bugs Bunny's smart.
That's true. Damn, never thought of it that way.
A rabbit eluding a hunter? I think so.
He really is the ultimate...
He's no Winnie the Pooh, but, you know.
The ultimate.
I didn't have an end to that thought. I just.
He really is the ultimate, as Lindsay Lohan would say in the song, The Ultimate.
You're yes. It. You're the ultimate. So that's
it's
my Unpunchable
automatic,
Jam.
I'm sure. Oh, I always forget that we have to pick an Unpunchable Jam. I know we're not there yet, but
not
now you
yet.
Know that I'm unprepared.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, and one more thing. The version that doesn't slap that I'm really
yes.
thinking
oh,
of.
Yes.
The Weezer cover.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Is Weezer okay, you guys? Really?
They're releasing a cover album.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm aware. Are they okay?
No. Africa and a song. I'm like, you just did like karaoke. This
I've
isn't...
shied away from ever talking about it.
Shying away.
I don't like Weezer at all. And I pretended to like them for so long. And now I'm just kind of like, you know what? I don't think that I ever really liked this band. And like the songs that I do like are like their worst songs. And I'm just kind of like, it's kind of fun. But
which ones do you like?
Like Pork and Beans and Troublemaker. No, yeah.
You're not going to mention Beverly Hills?
I don't like Beverly Hills.
Okay.
It started because I thought it sounded like two different songs, and then I just made it a
why
thing.
Why am I forgetting this? I wrote about it. The song with Lil Wayne.
Oh, I don't. I know what you're talking about. I don't know what it's
called. Oh, Can't Stop Partying.
Oh, right. Rivers Cuomo.
Is he okay?
No, he's
not
okay.
No, he's never been okay, honestly.
He's never been
okay.
He started his career just being like, aren't Japanese girls great? And everyone's like, yeah, do more of this.
And
okay.
He did.
So what we did, great segue, what we did for this, you know, we really wanted to hone in on the fact that this is a guy asking a woman to take on him, but it's a very bad pitch.
Basically, he's like, hey, take a chance on me. I'm going to leave. I'm very nervous. I don't know how to talk, but you should definitely take a chance on me.
I'll be gone in a day or two. Actually, I'll be gone in a day. I am a mess. I'm odds and ends. Anyway, take on me. And we wanted to put it in the context that it deserves, so we made it into an 80s dating tape.
Okay.
But not just any dating tape. We made it into a very special dating tape for somebody else. And here is what that is.
Take on Steve, don't mention Ocean Purple Rain than anything
Prince has ever done.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're okay with never listening to Prince
and also never wearing purple again, send a letter to P.O. Box 1.
Did I hear someone say Prince? Are you guys talking about Prince up there?
Okay.
The guy calls himself Prince, but if you ask me, he should be
Popper.
Called Popper.
Yeah, you say this every day.
He's a hat.
No, we know, Dad. Thank you.
I will shoot your mom soon, the same year he made his first album.
Okay, Dad.
We know.
Same time.
Can we finish?
Dad.
Just listen to this passage, all right?
Dad.
Page 36.
Dad,
shut up for like 30 more seconds.
We're trying to help you.
Interior crime scene night.
Stop it.
Dad.
I'll go talk to him.
Dad.
Detective Rick Monsoon.
If you're not scared away, hope you like shorts, cause
he will have his legs on display. Won't wear pants for any occasion,
even wedding days.
That's the reason that our mother left him to take on Steve.
He's cheap to
Space Spiders at the end.
Steve sounds like a catch.
I mean, he really is. Again, if you mention Prince, he is not a catch.
And he will not wear pants. And he's cheap.
Yay.
That's why he wears shorts, because they're half pants.
Half pants.
Half pants.
That's what I call them.
Half pants.
So that's how we fixed it. Fixed it. I can't fix everything. Certainly not my own speech patterns.
Take on Steve, baby. It's what we've all been craving and we didn't know.
Yeah.
We've all been craving Steve.
Steve, we need
not
Steve.
Us. He's our dad.
Hey, we have the same dad.
He broke the fourth wall.
Steve Barron.
What?
The guy that you mentioned earlier. You told me about him.
Who?
Steve Barron.
The director.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Yes.
I forgot.
Oh. I need you to start taking a little more 2000 and late.
I need more 2000 late.
Balance yourself out so you land about somewhere in 2500.
Yeah, I'll finally be down to earth.
Yeah.
Also, in case you didn't catch, that was Patreon's choice, so that
yes,
means
it was.
We made a behind-the-scenes video making that song.
Oh, yeah.
And that's on our Patreon.
You can see me coughing in between takes of that.
That is so high. Honestly, really hard. I only have more spork for Mork.
Mork? You have more spork for Mork?
He's turning me into the Swedish chef.
Yeah.
He's got me Twitterported. I can't help it.
If you were his Swedish chef, you could make him some food because he's from, never mind, different place.
Norway
is not Sweden.
Norway.
Just learned.
Should we get to Unpunchable 2?
The more you know.
You can't punch this.
Miel, you go first.
Who, me?
Wait, no, LaToya, you're our guest. You please go first.
Oh, God. So, I took notes.
You are confident about this pick.
I'm not, because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to pick. What could I possibly pick? Because I have a brand to maintain.
Do you? Uh-huh.
I mean, we mentioned No Doubt, but it's not going to be No Doubt, actually.
And your Slipknot shirt.
Yeah. Love Slipknot. I love, you know, that one song.
Psychosocial.
Yeah, that's the song.
It sure is.
Needle Face.
Are these real?
No.
No, mine is.
Mine's not. Sorry.
Okay, but your pick is.
So I've been re-listening to this album a lot lately after all the garbage news about Ryan Adams. It was not a Ryan Adams album. It is Mandy Moore's Wild Hope album.
Ooh.
This is the song Nothing That You Are, which actually it could apply to Ryan Adams very, very, very well.
To
beautiful song, and it's just like, it's Mandy Morgan angry. I like it.
Hell yeah.
I like it.
I don't know this song.
It's so good. That whole album is great. Mandy Moore is the best.
Is that one from like back in the day?
That was like one of her later albums before she stopped the music. Because
of fucking Ryan.
Yeah. The music died.
She's making music again now.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
If she makes another bop, like, oh, I can't call it a bop, like Cry, I'm all on board.
Cry
the
is a bop.
I saw you.
Yes.
Cry.
I feel like it just makes. Can you call a song a bop if it's sad?
Yes.
It's called a sop.
I love that music video though, because what it supposes is that Walk to Remember is a documentary. And Shane West is out in the world and he's just like, well, my wife's dead. And this movie is just like playing all the time. Yeah, it's great.
I need to rewatch that documentary.
And, like, he will come out of like the movie theater and they'll be like, it's him. It's the guy whose wife died.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a little too meta for my tiny little 3008 brain.
Video. Music videos back in that time were just kind of like, if you get celebrities in them, they don't need to have a cohesive story.
They don't need to have a cohesive story.
Did I say that word?
No. Yeah. A little. You do. They
just
don't
how
need
I talk.
To have a cohesive story.
Okay, what's your pick, Swedish chef?
No, it's Peter Stormare.
Marpar.
Oh, sorry. Is your pick like a VW bug?
Yeah. No, it's Peter Stormare's performance in Alien. Unpunchable Jam for me is a song that sounds exactly like this song, but like.
Wait, is this the one that you had me pull?
What did I have you pull?
You had me... No, okay, so it's clearly not that. You had me pull this song.
Oh, I forgot!
Yeah,
I
was...
Movies?
Do
I was
you wondering, remember anything?
No!
I was wondering why you had me pull this, because
it's a sampling.
Yes.
I totally forgot to mention this.
I mean, it's not really worth... it's just... It's
no,
funny because...
The hook of it's the same.
Yes. It is... It's Feel This Moment by Pitbull.
Yeah,
when
it is.
When the synth comes in. Right here.
This is Dame. Mr. 305.
Yeah, it's this song.
Pitbull.
No, it's not.
Pitbull has the highest ratio of how much I like him to how much I like his music.
You love
possible.
Him as a person and you hate his music?
I do. I think he's a great person and like a fun concept of a man. But then I also, like, musically, I'm just like, nothing you ever do interests me aside from the idea that you have terrible ideas for rhyming and sometimes will mention things that just happened to be like, look at how quick I made this rap. Blah.
But he's Mr. Worldwide.
He is Mr. Worldwide, and I'm more of a Mr. Local Metropolitan Area kind of guy.
I just love his head.
But he's also Mr. 305, so...
I mean, that's not my Metropolitan Area, I'm sorry
to say.
He's
a walking contradiction, Pitbull. We love him for
he
that.
He really is.
That's not my Unpunchable Jam.
No, I... Yes, what is your Unpunchable Jam?
It's by a band called Lower Dens, and the song is To Die in L.A.
Oh, I know that song, yeah.
It has like a very similar energy and a little synth bop, just like Take On Me. And then this big sing-songy chorus. I will say it's like a little 2015 sounding in terms of like beachy dream pop.
That's definitely when I heard it in an Urban Outfitters and Shazammed it.
Yeah, exactly. But I still think it's kind of good just for a vibe. Put it on and, I don't know, drink a fucking Mai Tai. What do people do?
Hey, drink Mai Tais.
Apropos of nothing and not because of me, what do cool adults do?
Cool adults?
Yeah.
I mean, they call their moms every day. They are, you know, texting their friends to make sure they're all right. They are taking their multivitamins at a regular hour.
Uh-huh.
And they are especially making sure that their neighbors know if they're going to be having any loud parties.
Right. Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to your mom, who's definitely listening to this podcast.
Yeah. I hope, Mom, you were listening through all of me. I couldn't even reference anything that I've done. I'm in a fugue state right now.
Did you take one of my pills?
I might have.
What's your Unpunchable Jam?
I'm trying to party tonight. I'm literally just going to pick one off of my Unpunchable Jams playlist. No, I know exactly what I'm going to do because I'm freewheeling this. The VHS sound from The Punch Up reminds me of a song I love called Mic Check by Cornelius.
Mic Check.
He is a Japanese producer, and it's just a very... He makes the kind of music that you can see, like, rappers sampling and turning into a beat, or him just producing a beat, but it's just, like, this very incredible... It's literally just, like, 50 seconds of him doing a mic check and making different sounds. You hear like a tape going in, and he puts reverb on, and he's like, mic check. And then he plays this like drum like backbeat that just fucking like kicks into the sound that sounds like butterflies exploding out of a, I don't know, like someone's chest or something. It's just very fun.
That's scary.
No, but in like a cool way.
What the fuck are you talking
about? In like an animated way. Like in a, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just a very cool song from a very cool album that he produced, and I like it. Mic check.
I liked it until you talked about the butterflies ripping out of someone's
chest. I shouldn't have described it in the worst possible. Okay, so it's like a very beautiful thing, and then Requiem for a Dream happens.
I haven't seen that movie.
But you know how it's awful.
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Is that the one
it's
where
it's a happy ending? Everyone just like,
it's so you put it on tonight.
Is that the one that they say if you build it, they will come?
That is Field of Dreams. Requiem for a Dream is the one where they say ass to ass and everyone
a moon
gets
moon landing.
What?
It's when you touch butts.
That's called a moon landing?
Yeah, you touch butts.
Pretty clever. It's not as fun as that sounds.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, if you haven't tried a moon landing and you have someone in your life that you feel close enough with to have skin-to-skin contact with, you should touch butts. It's fun.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen Requiem for a Dream, keep it that way.
Okay.
Latoya, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming on the show.
Thank
and
you for having me.
Reliving your fears for us.
I know.
Yeah, and now I have new ones about spiders.
Spiders and butterflies coming out of
chest. Chest cavities.
These are a few of my few favorite things.
Where can people read your shit?
Let's see. You can always just find me on Twitter talking nonsense at LaFergs, LaFergs, and then I'll let you know where I'm writing. And I have a book coming out in May.
Yes!
Hell yeah.
Yes!
On May 7th, my book, An Encyclopedia of Women's Wrestling, comes out. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Have you been on WrestleSplania before?
I have, actually.
Hell yeah, I gotta check that out.
I've splained.
You have? Yeah. Good. I know nothing about wrestling, but it's a very, very intriguing world.
Sweet. There's no moon landing in wrestling?
I mean, there are.
You mean ass to ass?
Ass to ass.
I mean, maybe inadvertently.
I mean, if you get some customs going, you can. I'll tell you about those off
customs.
Mic.
Customs. I like that.
Yeah. Tell us more off mic about wrestling, and then we'll record it and release it. No, I'm kidding. If you want more of the podcast, you're crazy, but you can subscribe to our Patreon where we do bonus episodes, and you can download the punch-ups and talk to us and other stuff. You can find us on Twitter at punchofthejam. You can email us at punchofthejam@gmail.com. Miel is at Miel or Miel Monster everywhere because Miel was taken, and I'm at Electrolemon everywhere because I commit to names that I found in sixth grade, and I don't ever change them. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye!
Okay, that was
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Hey.
Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.